Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show today with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is extremely timely and important to the multifamily industry. Our topic is expectations for the future of multifamily living in 2022. I have joining me by phone two wonderful supplier partners to the multifamily industry, Robert Galdon, the Director of Multifamily Channel Strategy at Allegiant, and Blake Miller, the founder of Homebase. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, Paul. How are you today? Glad to be here.
Yeah, well, so I want to kind of talk a little bit about one quick thing before we get into the discussion. Just recently, there was the National Multifamily Housing Council's OPTEC conference in Washington, D.C., which I attended, and Robert, you and I had the chance to spend a little time there. That's a conference where you find out a lot about what the future is going to look like, and just first impressions, Robert, how did you feel about it?
I thought it was a great conference, first and foremost. I think, one, spending some time with you was always a pleasure, but I think it was good to see the attendance was up further than I expected, right? We've been coming through the pandemic. I've attended a couple trade shows, and the energy level and the attendance, I think, was really, really good. So really happy about that. And then two, it's always great to just get together on the technology side and really take a focus and a deep dive on what's going on in the multifamily industry. So many new partners and players coming to the floor, really trying to help solve for what the industry really needs and taking a very specific look at the problems and how to solve for it. So I thought it was great. I thought the education was good, and I'm really looking forward to what the future really holds for multifamily.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and especially your comments about the show. I was very surprised at the turnout and thought that there was a lot of energy throughout the entire conference. So hopefully the industry is back, and barring any other issues pandemic-wise, I think we're going to see growth at all the conferences, whether they're national, regional, or statewide or local. So, Blake, let me ask you a question. Our topic is expectations for the future of multifamily living in 2022. That's right around the corner. Let's talk a little bit about some things that you might see on the horizon. Obviously, the pandemic caused a lot of multifamily owners and operators to expedite their use of different technologies. What do you see as something? Let's just start with package delivery. That's something that's been around. As a matter of fact, at the conference, they were talking about the fact that Camden in 2014 was the first company in the country to stop accepting packages in the office. And I remember seeing national news stories about it, because I believe it was close to the holiday time, so there was a lot of questions about what was going to happen. But that was 7 years ago, so we've seen things kind of even out over that time, and a lot of companies that provide package solutions have cropped up. What have you found?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so Paul, thank you again for having me. But one of the things I think that was evident at OPTEC is that smart building, smart access control in particular, is kind of one of the core pieces of infrastructure in smart buildings, is here. There's a lot of great competitors that I have in the market we've all created this category that I think the basics have been solved. And the basics, what I mean, is making sure that the right infrastructure gets into a building and that we can get the right people in and out of the building, namely residents, the managers, their guests and some of the vendors. And I think now one of the exciting things going into 2022 and beyond really is what happens next when you have the infrastructure and the kind of table stakes of smart access control for every door in the building. And so one of the things we've been testing for the last year here is actually package delivery, grocery delivery in particular, directly into somebody's refrigerator. Mm. So actually we've been working directly with Schlage and Walmart in-home to be able to enable this. And this allows a resident to be able to sign up for Walmart in-home delivery and get groceries delivered directly into the refrigerator by a Walmart delivery driver. We created a special SDK that went into the Walmart driver app that helps them interact Schlage locks to get them into the building, into the unit when they're authorized by the resident to do so. And they wear a body camera to make it really secure for everyone be able to gain access into the unit while they're making their deliveries. And that video is then, you know, accessible to the residents, accessible to, you know, Walmart from that video delivery, and helps make it secure. And this actual service, this concierge service that the resident now gets because they have smart locks in the building, enables a revenue generation opportunity to the property managers because they can get a commission from Walmart. Hmm. And so into 2022 and 23, we are rolling out services like laundry service, house cleaners, dog walkers, all of these things that become kind of part of the access economy really turning the access system or the smart locks into a transaction engine for the property owners while providing really amazing smart living experiences for the residents.
Well, I want to ask you a question, and let me preface it by saying that I'm an old guy. I'm a baby boomer, and I'm kind of used to doing things a certain way. Obviously, with the other generations that are out there, the millennials and the Gen X and Gen Zs now, they're more used to working and handling their needs online or on their phone and so forth. What type of acceptance are you seeing from actual residents as far as a percentage of a property maybe who would be willing to allow someone to come in their home when they're not there?
Yeah, so these have been somewhat small pilots in multiple buildings in Kansas City. But what we're starting to see is, between 20 and 30% adoption.
Wow.
In the buildings. And buildings that we do more active resident engagement are the ones that see higher adoption. But what I think is more interesting is once it is adopted, we're seeing on average 1.5 to 2 deliveries a week or more. So people that are using it a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's amazing that to already have 20 to 30% adoption on your pilots. Robert, we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on where you see this going with having people come into the actual residence.
Well, I think Blake has hit it, the nail right on the head. At the end of the day, we're seeing more and more demand for these services. And I do believe if you go all the way back to your example with package delivery with Camden, the ability to gain access to the building and now the ability to gain access all the way down to the resident unit to deliver those services, whether you're talking about groceries or whether you're talking about, pet sitting or, any number of services out there, that demand is starting to really creep up. And I think one of the things that's really important to help drive that, really kind of get us over the edge, is something that Blake touched on that I have to give him even more credit for, which is that solving for trust, right? So as you become more comfortable with the technology, as Blake mentioned, his organization put together those body cams and the ability to, watch and understand what's going on in your unit if you're not there while they're doing the delivery. I think that's really that kind of next generation thinking and thinking about, okay, now that we're hearing about the demand, now that we're seeing services go up to, 30% adoption rate and more, it's those next little things that companies like Homebase are doing that allow for that adoption and for people to feel more comfortable. We're seeing it across the board as well. We're hearing a lot more from partners as well as the you know, retail guys on how do we deliver our services or goods into the unit, and how do we make that a reality? And as Blake touched on a little bit earlier, we're at a point today where the access control technology is no longer that barrier. It's how do we pull these systems together into smart apartment and maybe a little bit further into smart building to make it a reality. So we're seeing all that trending hit. Other areas that we can talk about utilizing the same type of technology, it's just in a different lens, would be like self-guided tour, right? So things along those lines are now becoming more of a mainstay. And I'm really excited about that moving forward.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is expectations for the future of multifamily living. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two dedicated supplier partners to the multifamily industry, Robert Galdon, the director of multifamily channel strategy at Allegion, and Blake Miller, the founder of Homebase. And before we jump back into the conversation, I would like to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, gentlemen, and Blake specifically, you were discussing, we were talking about in-home deliveries and how that is going to be part of the future for multifamily. And you had mentioned that you are doing pilots and you're working with a great, what would be a great partner, a huge partner, which is Walmart. One of my questions would be, I would think that some people that you would want to partner with would have the obstacle, which you've obviously been able to overcome with Walmart, of what liabilities do they have for entering into someone's unit. How are you handling those discussions?
Yeah. So one of the big learnings that we had was, having the ability to have a body camera that records the entire interaction once the access to the building and the unit has been granted, then
it made it things more secure for everyone. You know, not only from a liabilities perspective for Walmart, but it made the customer feel or the resident feel far more secure. And so that's something that we've actually taken and extended, and something we announced at Optech that we're launching in 2022 is bringing body cameras with our partner Eagle Eye Networks to the maintenance staff, and actually enabling body camera, live body camera and recording during any service work orders, along with facility management, because it has a walkie-talkie. So a lesser skilled facilities person can go with remote support and take care of an issue, and even doing inspections. So we're taking that kind of next level and bringing that to the maintenance staff, the property manager, the operations team, as well as extending that to any other vendors that come onto our marketplace to offer their services in our Access marketplace.
Yeah, that seems like a wonderful solution. I know that there are, you know, supplier partners who work with multifamily properties to that have to enter units to do work, whether it's make readies or you know, something that the on-site team is not doing that they have to contract out to someone else.
Exactly.
And it seems like that would be a great solution for them as well. Is that something you're exploring?
Yeah, these are all tools that we, as we open up our marketplace, that we want to enable for all supplier partners. It's we view it as, you know, great for all sides.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. Well, let's talk about a term that was bandied about a lot at Optech and that we hear in the industry, and that's smart building. Blake, tell us a little bit about what that means. Define that for us.
You know, I think it means a lot of things to a lot of different people. And I think that that's something that is always going to be the case, because it's something I learned in some smart city work that I participated in, is that there's just so many factions when it comes to making anything smart. But one of the things that I think was the crux of that discussion at Optech in particular was, you know, moving beyond access control as a core piece of infrastructure. If you're going to connect the rest of the things, instead of using cellular-based hubs that have kind of their own issues with them, how are you going to connect the rest of the building or all the things in the building? And one of the ways of doing that is with a managed Wi-Fi network that, you know, can support that. And so that gives you the ability to be able to connect all the things. And I think that's one of the core kind of evolutions that's happening in the entire kind of smart apartment discussion, is that you need to actually have the entire building connected, not just inside of the unit.
Yeah, and also I guess that is something that if the apartment community is actually providing that Wi-Fi, that's a revenue generator for them, or it could be, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, having a smart building is having all these things work together. All these things mean it in a literal sense, right? And doing it in a fashion that not only helps you save money, which is everyone's goal. How do we make things more efficient? Not only, you know, from sustainability's perspective, but from a staff operations perspective, and be able to operate more units with the same team. But how do we, you know, I think most importantly, as things evolve, or as the Internet of Things continue to evolve and the smart building space evolves and the efficiencies become more apparent, how first do we help you generate more revenue? So that's what we talked about on the access control side. How do we turn your access infrastructure into a revenue generator? The other piece is, how do we turn your connectivity infrastructure? You know, don't use cellular-based hubs that just add expense. Use internet infrastructure, make an investment one time as a property owner, and then have the ability through applications like Homebase to resell access to the service, and do it in a way that's secure, because each unit gets its own private network, and each device network or each connected device gets securely connected to a network that's always on to the and always connected to the internet, not switched on and off. And, you know, we do this in a way that people can generate upwards of $30 to $40 a month in net operating income by owning their own network versus having the major telecoms come in and do that and give them a small referral fee. And in doing this, it helps kind of generate not only the revenue, but it helps orders of savings across different construction schedules in new builds as well, because you're consolidating everything to one converged network.
Yeah, and I think that's something that is going to be very, very attractive as time goes on. It's just getting people to want to look at making that change. But Robert, I wanted to ask you. You're kind of up to date on what's going on with all of this in the industry, and I can remember about 3 years ago having the great Mike Brewer, the CEO of Radco Residential, in the studio. We were talking about some of the technology that they were piloting at the time, and he had mentioned a smart dishwasher, I think, where it's connected to the internet and it allows maintenance to know if there's an issue or when it needs to be serviced, and other appliances that are out there doing that. What do you see coming down the pike with that?
Yeah, so I think that infrastructure that is out there today, right, the ability to connect all of these devices, whether you're talking about your dishwasher, your refrigerator, or the locks at the unit, or the locks within the building, various sensors, you know, whether it's leak detection or water metering, the other ability to connect all of those things back together. This is where I think we're in a brief moment of time where smart apartments are going to quickly mature to smart building, because you gain the efficiencies of the entire building versus just the individual unit. And that's where, you know, kind of looking into next year and even some of what we've heard coming out of the end of this year, you know, there's always been a element of resident experience, so that's never going to go away. But I think the technology adoption around, you know, driving efficiencies due to labor costs, driving efficiencies because of the competitive nature of this industry, is really where this is going to move forward. And so, as Blake had mentioned, when you put the infrastructure in that allows you to connect these things, I think that becomes, you know, a dual path of really generating new revenue and then driving that efficiency. In particular for us, what's really fascinating about this is it's taking the core of a building that has traditionally been offline. Don't get me wrong, we can go put our locks in an environment and run it in an offline mode. But once you have that connective infrastructure out there, you have the ability to talk to your sensor, to talk to your device, or in our circumstance, to talk to your lock, you can start to generate additional values, right? You can understand where your battery life is in real time. You can help with lock and unlocking type situations in real time. Things start to move at a different pace, and that's what I think is really fascinating. I think we'll talk a little bit further about how all this data can help us manage our buildings and parts of our industry. But for me, you know, when you take that and then you combine it with, as Blake mentioned a little bit earlier, the new revenue opportunities, I think I saw a stat out there maybe, you know, and I know Blake and I've talked about, you know, internet's your next utility. Right? And if you think about how much the internet today is involved in our daily lives, whether you're talking about work and Zoom meetings or Teams meetings, or whether you're talking about the ability to tap into curriculum at school, or whether you're just talking about an entertainment value. If you could take something that powerful, generate NOI on it, and connect different parts of your building to make it more efficient, feels to me like it's a home run.
Yeah, Robert.
Sorry, Paul. One thing I was just going to add is, you know, when it comes to the dishwashers and washer, dryer, all that, we're actually literally doing that today. So we've partnered with LG and currently working on solutions where not only residents have a unique smart living experience where they can remote start their dishwasher or washer, dryer, but they can actually, for the property management team, control and manage the assets from a emergency setting, or get alerts if there's something leaking. And what's exciting is it's not just that something's leaking and you could remote turn off automatically that dishwasher so it doesn't cause any other issues, but we can actually tell what is leaking, so what hose or pipe needs to be replaced, and be able to manage that ahead of time. So you don't have 2 to 3 trips to a unit with a maintenance person or an appliance person that had to do a truck roll that you have to pay for, all to fix a cheap part in a $400 to $500 appliance asset in the unit. And so, you know, you in doing this and creating these solutions, this proactive customer care, we think we can not only extend the life of the appliances through a cycle of ownership, but obviously limit a number of maintenance visits to each unit.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here with this segment. We're going to be back with our third segment of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're just discussing something that's very important and timely to the multifamily industry. It's expectations of the future of multifamily living in 2022. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two fantastic supplier partners to the multifamily industry, Robert Galdon, the Director of Multifamily Channel Strategy at Allegion, and Blake Miller, the founder of Homebase. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., Allegion, the leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, gentlemen, I wanted to talk a little bit. You had mentioned, I think, in the last segment, Robert, that all of these devices that are being connected to the Wi-Fi and so forth are creating a tremendous amount of data, and that data can be valuable. Talk a little bit about what you see that data can do for these properties.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I think that's the next real big step, right? As we look at these connected devices, as we move from smart apartment to smart building and all these different devices and sensors with inside the building, the ability to generate a ton of data, but then even better than that, aggregate it and then utilize it to run your
building more efficiently, to give operations better insights on what's going on in your building, or even to raise awareness to, you know, resident satisfaction ratings and other things, I think is really the evolution of where we're going with all of these IoT, you know, devices in the infrastructure. If you look at it from a LOX perspective, and I think Blake will have more to expand on, but from a LOX perspective, we can see, you know, when did someone interact with, you know, an amenity or a common area, and how long were they in that space? Even if you just extrapolate that out into self-guided tours, we can tell you how long someone was in a unit, which common area or amenity spaces did they visit, and you can start to see trends, right? And that may help you gain the insights that you need to drive better operations, to drive more efficiency into your building, to raise customer satisfaction, to really increase your overall NOI. So huge opportunities for the industry as we move forward, as things become more connected, as that community Wi-Fi and infrastructure is put into place. That's where I think as we get into next year and really moving forward, all this technology adoption and as it comes together, that's the real next big step for us.
And Blake, what are your feelings about all the data that's going to be created from this technology?
Well, I think you've got to be, you know, cautious about, you know, the security and the privacy, you know, of all sides or all users of the building first and foremost. But I think it's the responsibility of kind of our company and all these companies that are building smart building solutions to, you know, build kind of the next, use that data to build the next killer apps, right? So, you know, being able to, as Robert said, know when somebody's coming and going out of an amenity space, you know, might be able to turn that into a solution where somebody can sell incremental hours in a specific space or better utilize that amenity space in a different monetizable way in the future, because they have that information on how something is actually used versus a theory of how it might be used. But I think where, you know, this continues to go is kind of endless as you create, as I mentioned, those kind of killer apps, these features, or there's workflows connecting all of the different smart things in a building.
And I asked both of you guys, you know, obviously people are familiar with a lot of the technology that's already out there that can be part of the smart building and the smart home. What are some of the things that are kind of out there on the horizon that you think haven't actually surfaced yet, but it's, are some things that maybe beyond 2022 people can look forward to taking advantage of? And I'll start with you, Robert.
Yeah, I think I want to circle back one second. Sure. And agree with Blake as well. As we see more data out there, privacy is obviously, you know, first and foremost, and especially when you look at multifamily, you're running both a commercial application around the core and the common areas, but you also are running, you know, a business around resident units. So we do have to make sure that there is some, you know, really great policy and procedures put in place from a privacy perspective, as well as from a cyber perspective. I think leaning forward, though, looking at it from a technology perspective, we're going to find new ways to generate revenue around these technologies that are being implemented today. And Blake touched on some of those, right? But from services and things that are gaining a lot of steam today, like package delivery and service delivery to self-guided tour, I think those things are areas where we're seeing a lot more kind of new generation of things. I'll defer. I'm going to give Blake a chance to jump in. But there is an example of, in my previous life, kind of just looking at, you know, as Blake said, workflows, we looked at the flow of traffic into a building, and we used the technology to help generate a better experience based on what we saw from traffic patterns. So I think things will emerge as we start to see more devices implemented, especially as we start to look at it from both the new construction side as well as the aftermarket.
Yeah, Blake, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there is so much to do inside of the building, both for the resident experience side, but also the management experience side as well, creating efficiencies, doing all of the things that we set out to start doing. But trying to think really far out or further out, you know, I think some of the things that super excite me really are around mobility.
and how electrification of vehicles can help contribute to, you know, more sustainable buildings, how they can mobility fleets can help contribute to better designed buildings that don't rely on so much parking to get done, which helps make, you know, quote unquote, infill buildings pencil because you don't need as much parking. So I really think about how mobility and is going to affect everything of how we live in buildings, work in buildings. And kind of a close second there is you hear Brian Chet, who is the founder of Airbnb, talk about, you know, the future of work really affects the future of travel, the future of everything. And I think how all of these things kind of coincide into changing the way our buildings are designed for us is some interesting things that are going to really happen outside of just the connecting all the smart things and making cool apps.
Yeah, and Robert, I know, you know, we discussed the fact that part of the what it's looking like on the horizon, and the, I think there was a session that discussed this, was the fact that with people working from home and working remotely, they don't necessarily have to be at a, in a specific market or specific location, and there's going to be some efforts to try and accommodate people if they want to live a portion of the year in one market and then live another portion of the year in another market to keep them within the same brand of properties. Do you see that as something that's going to happen soon?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was what we heard at OpTech was something around a digital renter, if I recall. But mm-hmm. I do believe that we are in a great point from a technology perspective where you're going to see, as Blake talked about, buildings utilized in new and different ways, right? And it, that flexibility and the freedom to be able to move from an apartment in one city to another because you have the ability to work from home or work remote, because you have that ability to stay within a portfolio set. I think these are becoming really interesting use cases. So kind of leaning forward like Blake did, I think you're going to see a blending of hospitality because an apartment is nothing more than a longer-term rented unit, right? You can see blending from hospitality back to commercial space, workspace, back to living. And I think this digital economy and ability to seamlessly gain access, as well as all the other services that are tied to these buildings and how they're utilized, will change the footprint of what both urban and suburban areas may look like.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we are going to break it here and be back right after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that is very important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic today is expectations for the future of multifamily living in 2022. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two leading suppliers, supplier partners in the multifamily industry, Robert Galdon, the Director of Multifamily Channel Strategy at Allegion, and Blake Miller, the founder of Homebase. And before we jump back in the conversation, I want to let our listeners know that if you're supplier partners, we have some very unique and special sponsorship opportunities. Reach out to us at multifamilyradio.com. So we've talked a lot about all the different technologies that are out there. What is it going to take to make this achievable on expeditiously for the multifamily industry? Blake, you want to talk about that?
So, Robert, don't mean to put you on blast, but first, chip shortages. We've got to get a lot more everything, devices. It's not just locks. It's everything. It's affecting everybody. It's affecting the construction of new buildings, you know, all the way down to, you know, labor shortages as well, obviously. But, you know, on the retrofit side, we've got to be able to have the things to install. But I think one of the things that is exciting and one of the, I think, you know, great things are our partnership with Schlage in particular is the retrofitting or taking the first step into a smart building and retrofitting a smart lock with that doesn't require any, like, global connectivity in the building because you can connect to it via Bluetooth via your phone is a really powerful retrofit solution that we've been able to create. And enable an entire access control solution for every door in the building that, you know, still has your traditional key card or fob experience for anybody that doesn't want to use their phone. But if they do, they can use a phone as kind of the gateway, if you will, or as the hub to talk to that smart lock and let them in. And it creates a that kind of baby step of smart lock or access control to the smart building for a retrofit setting that might not have the budget for it quite yet.
And Robert, I know, you know, you and I have had discussions several times in the past about, you know, it's easy to put this technology in on new construction. It's a little bit more difficult on a retrofit. What are you seeing in that market? I know you call that aftermarket.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing a lot more demand for these services and these technologies to be deployed in the aftermarket. One, I think it's just because, again, residents are asking for it. We saw that in some of our surveys about a year and a half ago around the millennials. And two, because it drives that operational efficiency. And as Blake mentioned, I think a lot of this starts with access control and the ability to unify that. And one of the ways that we create that building block is just that, right? We've enabled our locks to be deployed into a building and allow you to take that first step without that core infrastructure. But as we continue to move forward, we heard a lot of this out at OpTech as well, a lot of great questions around how do we bring, you know, community Wi-Fi to our buildings? How do we make all of this a reality beyond just the new construction side? I think a lot of the manufacturers out there today are focusing in on that aftermarket adoption, creating those building block type stepping stones for the industry and helping drive things forward. Like Blake mentioned, our locks today utilize Bluetooth infrastructure. They have the ability to tie into those greater systems. So for me, it really looks, we sit down with owners and operators and really start to talk about, you know, what are your technology plans for today? What do you need to solve for today? And then what do you need to solve for in the future? Or where does your vision take you? And if you don't have a long-term vision, that's that's okay. We can start you on your journey. One of the most important things I still think, though, is starting to look at standardization, right? Because it makes it so much easier if you deploy, you know, your standards into your building. It makes it easier for us to then, you know, iterate on those standards and take those building blocks and bring partners like Homebase to the table and say, here's an easy takeover as your technology stack matures.
So, Blake, I want to ask you a question. There's so many, you know, just walking through the trade show at Optech, or if you go to Apartmentalize, you walk through, there's so many different apps and things out there. And when I think of standardization, I'm thinking about how do you have one app talk to another app? You know, the property is already using one, you know, some type of a software that for property management. How does everything integrate, and what type of a challenge is that for the industry?
There is a challenge because there's a lot of things to integrate. There's a lot of, I think, from our perspective as a software company, you know, a lot of traditional property management software companies to integrate with. We have other native systems that a property management company or owner might be utilizing that they want us to integrate with. But I think one of the things that Robert was really hitting on standardization is, you know, you first got to get all the things into the building. You got to get the building either built or you got to get it retrofitted or value added ready to make and ready to go for your management team to even start operating from a standardized, set. And so in doing that, would actually help, we're seeing a lot of ways help not only new construction, but your retrofit schedules when you standardize on specific, you know, things like access control and thermostats, all these different solutions that when you go into a certain market as a property owner, you can effectively ask the subcontractors, the general contractors, or even your own, you know, construction team, to assemble the things that you've already standardized across. And in doing this will help you get to the front of the line, I think, in a lot of cases with the OEMs providing these things, because they can predict far more accurately somebody adopting their product and can make sure that you know, with the chip shortages or other shortages that continue affecting the supply chain, that your project gets done potentially ahead of others. And it's because you've already made the decision to standardize versus doing kind of the regular go-to-market, look for subcontractors, wait and see what everybody comes back with. And what they come back with probably isn't going to all talk to each other.
And Robert, we've got about 2 minutes left before I want to transition to something else. But I wanted to ask you, because, you know, Blake did bring up supply chain. What are you seeing as far as the future for when we think we will get out of this supply chain crisis that we're in?
Man, I wish I had a crystal ball for that. It's going to take a little while, unfortunately. I was a little bit more optimistic, 6 months ago on where I thought the supply chain would go. I'd say today there are just so many levers in the supply chain, and all you need to do is pull one of them and you're going to have some disruption, whether you're talking about a chip shortage today, whether you have inability to move those chips off of a boat into a port, whether you have supply chain issues with transporting those chips into manufactured goods downstream, or whether you go all the way back upstream and there's some essential component that goes into that chip, like silica, that's not available because, the supplier's under lockdown. And so I think we're going to have, you know, to watch and monitor this. We're seeing things and we're seeing manufacturers, you know, make their adjustments to try to ease this through. But I think it's still going to be a rocky road, and we're all going to try to move forward and get through to this on the other side. And if it's not chips, it'll be something else. I think as we continue to struggle through the pandemic, these will be things that we'll just have to learn through. My advice, kind of to what Blake was saying a little bit earlier, is if you can get to those standardizations, if you can understand what your supply chain looks like and where there are risks involved, just prepare for longer lead times and plan in advance. And that becomes so much easier when you do have a standard.
I think that's great advice, and you know, we could certainly talk about the future of multifamily for several more episodes of the show, but I do want to transition and have each of you talk a little bit about your companies and also, you know, how people can get in touch with you or with the company if they have some interest in finding out more. And by the way, on our website, on this episode page of our website at multifamilyradio.com, there will be your logos as well as a link to your website if someone wants to click on it. But if they wanted to do it on their own, let's talk a little bit about that. Do you want to start out, Blake?
Yeah, so you can find everything about Homebase at homebase.ai and online and on the web and on social media. You can find us at Homebase AI on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, all the like. So we're all there, and I'm pretty active myself on LinkedIn and Twitter.
Tell us a little bit about Homebase. We got about a minute before we switch over to Robert.
Yeah, so Homebase, we are a smart building solution. We built an ecosystem of hardware partners like Schlage and LG that we've talked about here at the show, and bring it together with our software applications for residents and managers to control everything in the smart building. And our solutions really focus on generating new revenue streams through the access control systems and managed Wi-Fi, along with the efficiencies that property managers gain by being able to manage more units with the current team.
Fantastic. Well, Robert, we've got about 2 minutes left. Tell us a little bit about Allegiant and how someone can reach out.
Sure. So Allegiant is the parent company of the Schlage Lock Company. We also make various other fire and life safety devices, including the smart locks that we've talked a little bit about today. And beyond the smart locks at the unit, we also make devices for the perimeter and general access control. So really excited about the multifamily industry. You can find us on our multifamily dedicated webpage if you just put in multifamily.allegiant.com. As Blake mentioned, you can also find us on various social media outlets, just looking under Allegiant or the Schlage Lock Company. And then you can always find me on LinkedIn, as well as email me at robert.golden@allegiant.com. But super excited about where we're seeing the industry move forward, the adoption of this technology, and creating a more seamless access experience for, you know, both our partners as well as the owners and operators in the space.
Well, fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you so much. We could certainly, as I said, talk about this for many more segments and episodes, and hopefully we'll get a chance to do that in the future. But in the meantime, I want to thank you for joining us and let our listeners know that we will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.